Welcome to Macquarie University's podcast, Leading Lights, showcasing the world-changing research that's happening on Macquarie University's campus every single day. We talk to the pioneering minds tackling some of the world's biggest challenges in science, technology, health, the economy, environment, and more. You can listen to this story and find many others about how Macquarie Uni's researchers are making a difference at the Lighthouse website at lighthouse.mq.edu.au. My name is Sean Britton, and I'm speaking with Christoph Doetsch, the Executive Director of the Optus Macquarie University Cybersecurity Hub and Architect of Macquarie's Cybersecurity Degree Programs. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How would you characterise the current need for cybersecurity workers in today's world?
Oh, that's absolutely enormous. The needs across the industry, government, is huge. We have a big problem in Australia, but also worldwide. The cost of cybercrime is estimated to be $4.5 billion in Australia last year. And just to be clear, we are losing the battle against cybercriminals at the moment. So in 2016, we had the cost was estimated to be $450 billion US dollar. It's projected to reach $2 trillion US dollar this year. So the risks are there. The cost of cybercrime is huge, and at the same time, we don't have enough people. So there is a shortfall of people skilled in this country, but also worldwide. Again, we have an estimate of 1.5 to 2 million jobs will not be filled this year because we just don't have the right people.
Those are big, big numbers. What are the biggest areas of demand?
Probably in business. Jobs where you can combine technical expertise with understanding of the business is where there is a lot of demand. But as I said, it's really across the entire industry. So telecommunication, banking, finance, obviously, is a very is an area where you have a lot of needs for protection, for security. Pretty much any company with data has cybersecurity needs.
We'll touch on that again in a moment, but just the image that pops into, I think, a lot of people's mind when they first talk about cybersecurity would be the thoughts of Russian hackers interfering in the US election, the last US election, fears that China could do the same here in Australia. Is the web becoming the new battleground for, you know, modern nations?
Absolutely. I mean, it is right now the battleground. And the reason, I guess, is because data now is the product. So our society have evolved from manufacturing to services, to digital services. Now data is actually the product. And so it's much more convenient, for instance, if you want to steal money from a bank, much more convenient to send a virus and do a ransomware attack than to actually go and rob a bank with a gun. It's much more convenient. But this is not just for business. As you mentioned, Russia, China, all the governments are actually heavily involved in this war. And I guess it's because it's just so convenient. Okay. Back in 2010, there was a virus called Stuxnet. Stuxnet was used to actually take out some nuclear capabilities in Iran. And this was done just through a virus. I guess another advantage of this approach is that it's very hard to attribute who is actually the culprit, right? To this date, we are still debating, is it the US, is it Israel? We're still not sure who was responsible behind the Stuxnet attack. Also, you know, why would you send troops when you can send a virus? This was, again, exemplified by what happened in Ukraine a couple of years ago when Russia, before actually invading Ukraine, took out all the critical infrastructure by sending viruses to Ukraine. So is the question, is digital the new battleground? Absolutely, absolutely. And that's only going to get worse.
You mentioned, of course, the fears and the protections that Australian businesses or businesses in general are looking at in terms of cybersecurity. Still on the governmental side, government legal can be a little bit slower to catch up than business at times. How equipped is Australia as a government, as a country, to deal with this new battleground?
First thing I would like to say is that it's a tough one for everybody involved and for government especially, because developing policy in this context is very, very difficult. So I would not be blaming government too much. Of course, we can always do more. I would say that Australia is not any different from other countries in the world, struggling a lot with these issues. Again, very complex issues when you throw things like privacy on top. very, very hard to manage these things. I would say that there are some positive. For instance, New South Wales government started a new cybersecurity policy. That's really a first step in the right direction. Also, we have seen lots of investment coming from federal government 2 years ago. Actually, 2016, Prime Minister launched the cybersecurity strategy, which was really the first step to develop this industry. So lots of work to do, lots of efforts to add to what we are doing, but I see a lot of positive at the moment.
Mm. And again, back on the business side of these things, you mentioned before businesses are obviously looking for workers, looking for these protections, getting ahead of the game, they would hope. But in terms of the people to fill these roles, we are currently falling short.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, we have a lot of opportunities here at the moment to attract young people to these jobs. And this is the thing that I like is that it's not just a job. It's going to be a career. The need is so enormous that we are not going to fix this problem in the next 5 to 10 years. It's there to stay. There is no silver bullet. We are going to go toe to toe with criminals. And we are going to throw a lot of resources into that. And so for people who, especially, I would like to make a call to women, women who are brave enough to take the leap, to take the stand, to undertake studies in cybersecurity, that will lead to a very rewarding career, in my opinion.
On the mention of careers, I'm given to understand cybersecurity experts, workers, have traditionally come over from other areas of IT. Does this present an issue, not having a specific security background?
I think that the best mix is probably to have some strong technical capabilities, but that's not enough because we know that cybersecurity is not just an IT issue, it's a business risk. And so you have to add something else. And this something else could be law, could be business acumen, financial risk understanding, criminology, psychology. Psychology is actually very, very interesting because the human factor is absolutely huge. There have been very many different studies all show that more than 60% of breaches actually come from a human error. Whether it is intentional or it's just an accident, this comes from people working in your organization. And so to be able to understand how people behave, the human behavior, how people think, how you can design system in a way that is safe, you have to make the safe option the easy option. Otherwise, people will find a workaround. So all these characteristics actually lead to a very broad range of careers. And so people with very different background can actually be very successful in this industry.
Mm. So I understand you've been the architect behind some of these degrees and working towards both the technical and the non-technical soft skills. Mm-hmm. You kind of mentioned there. How do you actually intertwine the two?
So we actually work with specialists in other area. So the good thing about the hub is that we are naturally connected with leaders in other area. It's just a matter of integrating technical skills with soft skills, as you mentioned. Mm. And we try to do it in a way that we bring these things together. We don't teach it separately. So for instance, we just started a unit at Macquarie called Introduction to Cybersecurity. And this unit is actually taught by academics from three different disciplines, from technique, from computing, from business, and also from criminology and law. And that's the kind of approach that we want to develop to really tackle cybersecurity as a multidisciplinary and very complex issue.
Mm. Did you have any examples of how you would bring the two together?
When you want to talk about, for instance, the impact of a cyber breach, well, you do that in the context of the impact that it has on business. So you talk about, we do a lot of case studies, and, you know, with what happened in the past, it's not very hard to find interesting case studies. And we really try to link how a technical glitch, for instance, can impact the business in very significant way.
Mm. I almost just think of it if we're talking with a corporate or governmental warfare, you know, to learn warfare, people would often play war games. Yes. I was just wondering if there's a comparison there.
Absolutely. Actually, that's something that's on our agenda. Simulation is a very powerful way to make people realize the impact of a potential breach. Mm-hmm. And we're actually working on an event toward the end of this year that will do exactly that. So bringing people from corporate to actually go through a simulation of an attack for a full day and then learn from that. Because what we see is that people, especially in Australia, are not very much prepared to this kind of thing. And I think I talk to a lot of people. I think it's interesting that probably it comes from the fact that we are on an island and we are relatively safe. And we tend to translate this physical security into digital security, which is completely not applicable. We are at the doorstep of China, Russia, and so on. So we may be safe physically in the physical world, but not at all in the digital world. And so our behavior needs to change.
That's an intriguing point. In terms of the students themselves, you're training students, well, how to hack in order to learn how to defend against hackers. Is there a fear that they could cross to the dark side on these things, become black hats themselves?
There is absolutely this fear. It's real. We are equipping students with scary skills. For instance, we have units on ethical hacking. So the purpose of ethical hacking is to find vulnerabilities in the system so that you can fix them. But of course, you know how to hack into systems, websites, whatever. So you are giving away these skills to students. So one way to respond to that is actually to bring the question of ethics absolutely every time, everywhere, at every single opportunity. We reinforce the importance of ethics. But I guess what I've seen is quite the opposite. What I've seen is that we've managed to rescue a few students who may have crossed the line in the past, but because they see now that they can apply those skills in a way that is good and in a way that is going to bring them a job and a career, I think that we managed to rescue a few students who may have, you know, go a different path.
I suppose the financial imperative is now there in terms of the recognition people in these areas are actually getting.
And again, we see the huge demand. We have industry speakers coming to our unit to present. And every time they tell, look, we have 10 jobs to be filled tomorrow. We need people right now. It's really that bad.
Mm. And is there any other ways? You mentioned, of course, attracting more women into the IT sector in general and looking at the fact that there is going to be this large hole in the Australian workforce, the cybersecurity workforce. How are you going about attracting more people into these areas?
I guess I should say that we are quite successful. Our programs have grown very rapidly. We started in 2017. We had about 70 students who just started for the entire year. Just to give you an idea, 140 students started just in session one the same program. So there is definitely a lot of interest for these programs. So we don't really have to advertise them too much. I guess the tough question is, how do we attract women into this job? And I don't have an answer to that. The good sign is that we went from 10% last year to 20% female students in our programs, so that's very good. I guess it's just a tireless work of advertising, explaining the opportunities, and also having role models. So we have a number of scholarship holders funded by Optus. We have actually, out of six scholarship holders, four are actually women. And so we are going to use these good stories to bring more people into the mix. Mm. And actually, we have also PhD students, academics, who are women. And really, it's about showing that there is a pathway. It's not just a job, but then you can grow also in your career if you are a woman in cybersecurity. But again, I want to reinforce that there will be enormous rewards for people who are brave enough to take the leap.
Chris, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Sean.